message review.
Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That is republicbroadcasting.org. I'm going to type it in right now just to make sure. republicbroadcasting.org. We also call it RBN. That's what most people know it as, but republicbroadcasting.org. I read it for the articles, but it also has great archives. It's got pictures sometimes, yeah, this ship that won't sink. I wonder what that would be, probably the USS Liberty. It's got a donate button. I'd like to remind you of that because this is an important project. We'd like to keep it on the air. I'm broadcasting live, and the call-in number, I like to talk to you if you want to talk to me, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, I have an idea of how to get people to call in. I'm going to start talking about global warming. How about that? That'll be fun. So, I'm a little bit of an outlier in our community in that I take this climate change stuff seriously. I take other things seriously, too. No, I take it actually very seriously. I think the climate is changing, and I think humans have enough to do with it that we should fess up, that we have plenty to do with it. I mean, obviously, the climate's been changing without humans for eons and eons, literally. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of, what do you call it? Earth science, space science, astronomy. There's things that are going on outside of our planet, sure. But here's the thing I want to, and before you freak out too much, I don't go along with all of the international conference, carbon tax, other stuff. I don't go along with the solutions. I do go along with the premise. I do go along with the premise that humans are impacting our climate. And here's the thing. You know, when you grow up or when you watch science fiction movies, you see Star Trek. Okay, Star Trek. I watched a lot of Star Trek when I was a kid. And, you know, they go around and they look for planets with oxygen. And sometimes it was like the idea was, okay, here's a planet with oxygen. Let's go colonize it. And the thing is, we don't have life here because Earth had oxygen. We have oxygen here because Earth has life. It's the life that created the oxygen, not the other way around. It was life that caused our atmosphere. You know, why do we have life here? Well, that's another story. The atmosphere is dependent on the life. On the plants make the oxygen. Without life, you know, carbon dioxide is actually stable. It's stable. Oxygen, free oxygen, is not stable. If you had a lot of free oxygen and no life, all sorts of things would oxidate, and you'd wind up with no oxygen in a hurry, no free oxygen in a hurry. So it's life that made our atmosphere. And, of course, the content, makeup of our atmosphere has a lot to do with the climate. And Venus has a what they call a runaway greenhouse effect, and you know, it's got a whole bunch of carbon dioxide. Some you know, carbon dioxide and water vapor and things like this, they're see-through, they're transparent for visible light, but there are certain certain frequencies of the electromagnetic spectrum that they're less transparent to, and some in the infrared, just like ozone is transparent in our visible light spectrum, but it's not so transparent in the ultraviolet. There are things like that. At any rate, if you've ever flown, and I fly more than I'd like to, actually, because I get sick. I'm not a very good flyer. But and so you don't want to sit next to me. If you run into me on a flight, you don't want to sit next to me. But I do like, and also because I like to look out the window, which means not only do I have to rush off to the bathroom to throw up, but I have to climb over you on the way. But no, I like to sit next to the windows, and I like to look out the window. And I you know, I fly mostly over North America. I've flown over other continents too. Flown over Asia. I've flown over Europe. I've not flown over South America or Africa. I have flown over Australia. And, you know, you look out the window of Australia, and you don't see that much evidence of humanity unless you're, you know, on the Pacific coast from Sydney to Brisbane or whatever. But you don't see that much. But flying over United States, especially if you're anywhere east of the Rockies, you see an awful lot of humanity. You look down. If you're over the agricultural Midwest, what do you see? You see agriculture. You see farmlands. It's very, very clear. Everything's laid out in squares. Or you get up in the north, it's not even squares so much, especially if you get into Canada, the agricultural parts of Canada, flying over Manitoba or whatever. You look down, and it's a bunch of circles. I guess the land is not quite as valuable, and maybe the water is more valuable, and the most economical way to irrigate is through these, I guess they must be these, I've never seen them up close, only from the air, but there must be these pipes that are on some sort of axis that and some sort of circular track, and they just go around in circles and irrigate it that way. It must be it, because you see all these circular fields when you're flying over Canada, the agricultural part of Canada, but you see it. And then if you're flying over the East Coast, with the exception of the Appalachian Mountains, you see a whole bunch of settlement houses and everything. And the fact is, I'm not going to talk much more about this because I'm going to be talking to William in just a second, but just to wrap it up, it was life that made our atmosphere. And humans are having a huge impact on life. You can look down at our biosphere. You look down at the surface of the Earth, and you see a lot of impact from humanity. And the types of life that were around a few hundred years ago, the proportions of those types are not the same as they are today. Proportion of force is not the same. Proportion of fields is not the same. And that's going to have an impact. That's as much as I want to say, because I want to bring on William. William, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. And
I know a lot about those circles, because I can look out my window down into the valley and I see two of them.
Okay. I've never seen them up close.
Yeah, it's called center pivot irrigation.
Right.
And what you do is you drill a well, and then you run electricity out there, and you have a big pump. And they call it center pivot because there's this long, on wheels, there's this long pipe that comes out from the center, and the power makes this rotate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going around and around. It doesn't take much. Almost all of these things are now, some of them are very sophisticated. They'll actually have sprinklers on this long, long post that goes out, this long pipe, and they'll have sprinklers intermittently placed. And so as this big wheeled, you know, contraption goes around and around, you can regulate how much water you want to put on your property.
And you're saying it's well water.
It's well water, and you know, and or at least pipe water. You know, maybe piped in from a river if you're close to a river. But it's a very efficient way of irrigating large areas of land. And since out here, you know, in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and here in, you know, eastern Montana, it's the preferred method because it can be automated so that it doesn't require a lot of human interaction. Mm-hmm. And it's very efficient. And right now, I was just driving through a whole series of these circular irrigations and, you know, different types. The canola is coming in, this sort of new version, hybrid version of wheat that's like 18, 20 inches high. You know, it used to be when I was a kid, you see the wheat fields and the amber waves of grain would be look like waves as the winds go through it. But now they've developed these stunt-like wheat varieties so that it doesn't fall over. Because if your mm-hmm. wheat falls over, then you're not able to harvest it. But I drive through every time I go into town. I see a lot of center pivot irrigation.
And this is something.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's something I'm only familiar with by looking down from an airplane. I never heard about it. Never heard anybody mm-hmm. talk about it. But when you look down from an airplane and you see this, you say, "Well, that's what it must be," and indeed, mm-hmm. that's what it was.
Because if you go through some areas, you'll see that, you know, some of them are dark green circles and some of them are light green circles. And you also, if you look closely, you'll find that some of these things are larger than others. And if you see one on the ground, I mean, they're huge. They may be 60, 80 feet long or more. And they're very sophisticated because they have a lot of different types of sprinkler systems that can be attached to this and changed depending upon, because one of the things that happens is you have to rotate crops. You can't just grow the same crop all the time. So if they switch from, you know, canola to wheat or to a pulse or to something else, they just go out there, a crew goes out there and changes the sprinkler heads, you know, to maximize the amount of water for that particular crop. So it's very effective, very efficient means of irrigating large areas of land. So, anyway.
Well, yeah, and large areas of land, although it's not the most efficient use of the land, but it's efficient use of all the other resources, because you're wasting 1 minus pi over 4% of the land because it doesn't, you know, that's...
But the new ones don't... the new ones, you'll actually see when you see these dark green circles, you'll actually see those little corner parts, you know, also green. Mm. You say, wait a minute, how do those stay green? Well, as these things move around, it's typically about typical radius is about a quarter of a mile, and it covers about 120 acres, 130 acres. But when these things go around, you know, as this thing moves around, it detects when it's in the corners. And mm-hmm. there's a sprinkler right at the very end, and that only turns on when it gets to the corner. And so it sprays that corner, and then it stops spraying, or otherwise you'd be wasting water.
Right. So, do they grow the same crops? Or is it a different crop that they grow outside of the circle? Because the circles look very distinct from the air.
Well, sometimes, yeah, some of them don't have that sophistication. It just pivots around. But many of these have now, the more modern ones, are computerized, and they can tell where they are. You know, they'll just, you know, the circle is just is just the greenness. But if you go down there and look at it on land, you don't see any fence there. You don't see a circular fence. It's just that's where the extent of the water on the less sophisticated, equipment is. But a lot of times you'll see where you can't make a distinction between the circle because the little sliver in each four corners is about the same color. So anyway.
Well, you never know what you're going to learn on National Bugle Radio. But I know that you've been looking into more. You have, I guess, what it would be part three of what to digest from the recent summit.
Well, it's been very interesting because I have an entirely different take. I mean, every day that this madness, this hysterica, hysteria, mass media hysteria, goes on, the more the numbers start changing. Now, you won't hear very much about the numbers because these prostitutes will keep telling you that, oh, it's terrible. Oh, he's going down the drain. He's finished. We caught him with his pants down. But if you actually see the numbers, especially of his base, they have actually increased because, where we hear, I mean, one of the things we have to get past is being so beaten by this, whatever you want to call it, fake news, Zio media. And we start believing what they tell us, which is they have all bases covered and they got us on the run. And we have to fight that because if you actually look at the numbers on the ground, you'll find out that the numbers aren't supporting that. There's a couple major polls that just came out, Axios and Gallup. And they said, actually, Trump is doing good, especially in his base, and even among, maybe some of the Republicans that aren't thoroughly in his base. Because if you look at the checklist, he's hammering away at all the things. When he went to the NATO summit, he was hammering away at Merkel. Saying she wasn't paying her fair share, she was spending too much money, making the enemy that we were supposed to be protecting her from richer. So where's that at? But what the base and the Republicans said, and Trump has said this in the past, is guess what Merkel also did? She was the one that opened the floodgates and said, the more the merrier, y'all come. Not just the Syrian refugees, which they always show as a young family with a cute little girl and a cute little boy, but this mass of illegal immigration into Europe from Africa. And these people are not skilled. They always project that the Syrian refugees are attorneys and doctors, and, they have young families. They're going to be productive members. But the ones that are really swarming the shores and coming in are unemployed. They're illiterate for the most part.
Even in their own language, they're illiterate.
Yeah, because they don't have literacy. And they're coming because they've been told, especially by, hey, Merkel says, if you come on up here, you'll live like kings. And so when Trump beat on her, his numbers started going up in what we call the flyover states. Like most of the stuff you get on the news is West Coast, East Coast centric, and everybody says he's done, he's finished. But there was a lot of things that Trump was doing even after the summit. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hammonds, but he pardoned this father and son, the Hammonds. And they were a father and son in eastern Oregon that was accused of setting fire to BLM land. And they were going to throw the book at this, and he pardoned them. And the uptick among the people that I live with was like unbelievable. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and we're just about to go to the break. But so that had a big impact out where you live.
Okay. Because
we'll hear more after the break.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Show, and we're here with William from Montana, and I'm also going to bring on Jeremy from Kentucky because I know he's going to have some questions for you as well. Hi, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Slattery and William. It's a good day when I hear that bugle call. I know that there's two things. It's time for lunch, number one, and two, it's time to hear some very fascinating commentary on current events.
Yeah.
So
I was going to mention Kentucky. I was going to mention if you fly over Kentucky, you don't see those giant, the circle fields.
Yeah, you know.
Because the land, pivot. The pivot, yeah, circular pivot, or, yeah, because I think in the Ohio River Valley, the land, agricultural land, is worth too much to leave off the corners. I think that's
no,
the case.
No, it's more that the geography or the elevation, the terrain, is too up and down. I mean, these
okay.
hills are rolling, and the center pivot irrigation, since it's a big boom, it has to transit across relatively flat areas.
That's why I see it in Manitoba, in the Canadian Shield, the Lake Country.
Yeah, because that's all been glaciated, you know, and it's just smooth. I mean, I've seen it used in slightly rolling hills, but it that boom pivots and it has a degree of flexibility, but it's not, you know, something that
okay.
can go way up and then come way down.
Now, Jeremy, when you hear that bugle call, you probably aren't expecting a lot of discussion about various agricultural technologies. So what was on your mind?
Well, let me tie center pivot irrigation in with the Hammonds.
Okay.
Because nobody on the West Coast and the East Coast probably even know who Dwight L. Hammond and his son, you know, Stephen Hammond was. But they were a father and son that were actually arrested for setting fires on federal land. It actually turned out that the evidence of that fact was very skimpy. But they became, they were sentenced to 5 years sentences for arson. And they precipitated, I know, you know, if you know about the Bundys, you know, this mm-hmm. was an earlier showdown. between the BLM and ranchers, because much of the western land, a lot of the farming is leased. And originally, the BLM was set up to help manage, to bring these lands into production. And they were to encourage leases with ranchers and grazing and stuff like this. And then all of a sudden, in this sort of rush to say, hey, this is a lot of money, and we should start getting money for this, BLM started changing and saying, these leases that have gone on for generation and generation are too good a deal. We need to start upping. We need to start making some money off of this, which wasn't their real mandate. And so when these two guys were arrested and these trumped-up charges were laid to them, they went, they were sentenced. And a group of people came in, which are referred to as, like the anti-government, militias and things like this. They came in and they took over a seasonally abandoned wildlife refuge in eastern Oregon, and there was a big standoff, and these Bundys and other people were arrested, and tragically one man who was really a peacekeeper who was from the local area was basically gunned down by federal and state troops, in cold blood. And then eventually they said, well, he had a gun, or we thought he had a gun. But this was a big thing in people that I live with, because many of them went to this wildlife refuge to support them, and many of them protested because there were more people than just the Hammonds arrested and often incarcerated without charges for a long time. So when Trump granted this, this was even before the summit, when he granted pardons for both of these people, there was a major uptick in his support. Now, the Washington Press and the New York Times, they said he's going to stir up more white anger and white violence. This is terrible. I mean, he's basically fanning the flames. Because many of the ranchers in the West, are white. And so they had a different take on this. But among his base, and even among the Republicans, because many Republicans said, this isn't good. This is really driving people away from, staunch supporting of Republican candidates. And so when this happened, not only did his base see this as him having their back and doing away with a grave injustice, but also the Republicans said this will go good in the coming midterms, because we need that base and we need that Republican support to make sure that we don't lose any members in the House and in the Senate. And a survey came out, if you listen to Wolf Blitzer and Chris Wallace and all those other people, they'll say, he's going to get creamed because this summit just laid him bare and nobody's going to vote for him in the midterms. And, the Democrats are going to make big strides. But if you look at the numbers, and there's been some polls that have come out, it looks like they may lose two, but they may gain three.
Yeah, he seems to be picking up support, if anything. Okay, we'll be back after the break with more William Jeremy and Central Media.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
So, Jeremy, what is on your mind this morning?
I'll just respond to some of the different comments. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, in Kentucky, irrigation's a big deal. In the last decade, farmers have really been hurt, especially in their corn crops. Plus, we're starting to grow hemp now. And just a brief history, you know, hemp was outlawed. Even, you know, industrial hemp was outlawed in the 30s by the DEA, and it's just been recently in 2014 that Kentucky has allowed the growing of hemp, which is going to be an awesome thing for Made in America type stuff, which would tie into a headline that I wanted to mention about Trump's Made in America speech, right? Because now we can stop importing plastic and synthetic crap from overseas and utilize hemp resources. But, of course, you know, the DEA is all over these farmers. I got one of my best friends grows hemp, and they are all over him. The THC levels have to be below 0.3%, and it's crazy. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's going to create more jobs, and lots of good stuff is happening in Kentucky, and I think that's our reward for being one of the first states to vote for Trump. So I did want to mention that. And then as far as irrigation, one more thing. The water source is a big deal. You know, we have low-pressure irrigation systems. These basically, they're huge structures that have wheels on them, and you know, you can pull them around different parts of the field. Well, you need an irrigation hole, and my dad does farm work. He does bulldozer work for farmers, and he'll dig $5,000 or $6,000 holes in the ground, irrigation holes. They'll fill them up. They'll get the boomer farmers will get all their Mexican kids to get out there and lay, you know, pipe and run pipe out to irrigate their fields. So good things in Kentucky, as hemp is going to completely eclipse tobacco pretty soon, I believe. Because tobacco has always been our big cash crop. Same for Tennessee. So I wanted to mention that on the irrigation and farming, because I do have a little bit of knowledge of that with my dad having been connected.
And the hemp crop is not going to be smoked like the tobacco crop is, right?
Well, you know, Grandpappy. Yeah, industrial hemp. But Grandpappy always did say what grows between the tobacco barns ain't going to hurt nobody. But no, it's the DEA's, you know, the government's really strict on keeping on track on these farmers because, I mean, marijuana in Kentucky just flows like water. I don't personally use it, but I know a lot of people that know a lot of people that smoke bongs with a lot of people. So it's really big here. But, yeah, the industrial cannabis is going to be big for Kentucky. I think it's going to turn us around and provide a lot of good jobs. It already has. And then I wanted to make a comment on... Go ahead, William.
I just wanted to say when I was a Boy Scout a long, long time ago, you know, some 55 years ago, I did a hike in down by Louisville. And we were walking, you know, you'd start at this one place and you'd sign in and you walk 20 miles and then you sign in at another place and then you get a medal to put on your chest as a Boy Scout. And when we were walking this path, we came by these long, they looked like pools. They were made out of concrete. They were about 5 feet across, and they were about 3 feet deep and 20 feet long. And there was just one after another, and we asked the scoutmaster what these were. And he said, I don't know, it might be like raising fish or something. I don't know. They were all overgrown. And when we got to the end of the hike, we asked the old man there, who was the caretaker that signed us all in, and he said, no, that was for making rope. This area used to grow hemp, you know, back in the 20s, and after they cut the hemp down, they'd throw them in those ponds and let them rot. And then after they rotted for a while, they picked up and all these strands would come up. And then they would dry that and coil it up, and it would be sent off to make rope. And it was like all the people here were involved in that industry in the 20s.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I look forward
to it. We've gone through most of the show talking about agriculture. Are we going to talk about Rush at all?
Or do you one of the things I did quickly want to mention is that, you know, I'm amazed. If you look real carefully, you'll find that Trump has gotten some great support for really cleaning up at the polls in November. I mean, a very unlikely source, but the Democratic Socialist of America and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she has given Trump a great hope for really cleaning up in these midterms. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah, she's making a lot of waves.
She's saying, like, hey, if you don't like Trump, there's always us socialists, and we were for open borders. And, I mean, mm-hmm. She is a walking advertisement for why we must vote for Trump in the midterms.
She's the 28-year-old new face of the Democratic Party who upset in the primary election, I guess, the number four Democrat, somebody who...
Right.
Could have been the Speaker of the House if the Democrats won the midterm elections, which doesn't seem very likely now, thanks to this.
And the Axios numbers that came out said, yes, there may be a chance that two Democrats will win in the red states, but three Democrat incumbent senators are in danger of losing. So in spite of, and another thing very interesting, you have to read between the lines, because one of the interesting things that came out was Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. She came out and she said, you know what? I think now that we caught Russia and Trump, you know, bald-faced, out there. You know, when that Helsinki thing was over, they were both had. And she said, she said this on the 14th. She said, this is going to be a murder, because one of the things that happens is once we caught the Russians, we know that they meddled, and we're going to be ready for them at the midterms. And she said, one of the things that we're going to be ready for is if we don't, she basically said, if the Democrats, you know, who obviously are going to win, if they don't win, then we know that he just came back and did it again, and we're going to be ready with vicious and far-reaching sanctions and a program of isolation. And so this is like, you know, and then, but the numbers that just came out in the last week indicate that they're not going to do well.
No.
So
why is Kirsten, what's her name? The Homeland Security Secretary. I was going to say
Kirsten Nielsen.
Kirsten Nielsen. Why is she still in the cabinet? Why is Dan Coats still the Director of National Intelligence? It seems like these are people who are out to get Trump.
Yeah, and one of the things, well, you know, Trump was making noise that some of these people, especially the ones, you know, some of these past CIA directors and stuff, he was going to make efforts to remove their security clearance, because these unfounded accusations of treason really should preclude them from sharing in this high-level, you know, security clearance, because they've demonstrated that they don't know how to play the game, and they also are making false accusations against the administration. And he does have the power to revoke, you know, those clearances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one
okay,
thing that,
well,
that
run it over to you now.
Yep.
Well, I was just going to say, like we brought up on Stormfront this morning, this is just a matter of giving them enough rope to hang themselves, and I think that's probably why they
hope that we can get more rope.
And Rand Paul will bring it from Kentucky. Rand Paul will bring that rope from Kentucky, because he's our guy more and more every day. You know, like Trump, he's not perfect, but man, we could have done a lot worse. These guys are just falling all over themselves, and I think that's what the Steele dossier is. I've brought this up before, William, and you can agree or disagree on whether Deripaska funded it, but somebody threw the Steele dossier, or Pissgate, as we affectionately call it, out there to the left, knowing that it was so ridiculous that but they were so gullible too, kind of like the guy that got trolled by the Russian comedians, right? They're so gullible that they'll go for this, and they've based everything on the dossier. All of their warrants are now illegal. I mean, this thing, if someone could pull the right bricks out from the foundation, the whole thing would come crashing down. They could take down the whole system of our government as we know it and rebuild it from scratch.
And, yeah. You know, that giving them enough rope, I mean, in the Russian press, I've saw two or three people come out and they said, you know, when they were evaluating the Helsinki and the aftermath, the Helsinki summit and the aftermath, they said, you know, I don't think these people, these press people in the West, really have a clue as to what happened, what didn't happen. Because when we look at it, there was a huge uptick in support, and there were people, like I said, in Europe that I read two or three reports that said, we don't particularly like his style, and we don't really trust him, but he certainly came off more presidential than the media would indicate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he, you know, came out and handled, and you know, there's been so many people that have gone in and, as you know, Wolf Blitzer and Chris Wallace and all these people, CNN, The Morning Joe, all these things, they said one question brought down Trump, and that was, who do you trust, Putin or your intelligence agencies?
Well, I know who I trust.
Yeah, I recommend everybody go read the transcript, because it wasn't a simple question and a simple answer. It was a very complex question and a tricky question, and Trump gave a 6 or 7 paragraph, very detailed answer that if you listen to the whole thing, which nobody talked about what they really said, they just sort of interpreted what was said and what the effect was. But if you read the transcript, I recommend if people didn't see it, or, you know, go find the transcript and read exactly what was said. People in Europe, especially people in Russia, really read that transcript, and they said they didn't see anything that was reported. There was no clobbering of Trump. Trump handled that question, and it wasn't a question to get information. It was one of those questions that actually were trying to get an answer across. You know, they weren't seeking any information. They wanted to get a statement.
And a question designed to promote disinformation, because the premise of the question was the 17 intelligence agencies all agree that Russia hacked our elections, which is not at all the case.
Yeah, absolutely not true.
Yeah.
I'm about to get off here and go back to painting. Let me just make a couple comments before I go, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
As far as like the public perception, you know, I think 99% of my paint customers are boomers, and they're tired of like all of this. They completely and utterly distrust everything that comes over the media, and they're sitting in there right now playing solitaire on their PC and reading the paper. Like, they don't. And it's not the news either they're reading. They're reading, like, other stuff. Like, they don't even understand that Putin and Russia aren't communists anymore. They don't even acknowledge that. They're like, you know, Trump's going to handle it. Whatever. So, like, Trump has changed the public perception of the news from a lot of people. So that's one thing. And then, secondly, Dr. Slattery, the whole global warming thing, that's so boomer, man. I mean, you can totally look up solar activity. Solar activity has risen since the Little Ice Age, in 1750, which was caused by low solar activity. So high solar activity coincides with industrial revolution. I'm just going to throw that out there. And that's what I have, man. And by the way, what do you get when you cross a boomer with 21st century technology?
What's that?
Patrick Slattery.
You get a jitterbug flip phone and Windows 10 on your PC with all the solitaire you can play.
Total
I love boomers. Just kidding. All right, I'm gonna go on, guys.
The global warming thing right now, I wasn't saying that it's only humans. It's all sorts of things, and I didn't finish it because I don't support the program of the global warming hype people. I don't support their program. One of these days I'll get back into it, but not today. I wanted to say that I think it's really important that Trump, is who has been surrounded by the worst people for so long, is breaking out. And, you know, it's good that he met with Kim Jong-un, because there's some stuff he can get from him, like solving what was perceived as a big problem. But meeting with Putin is huge. But also he had a meeting with Rand Paul. And if there's anybody in Congress that should be working with Trump, it's Rand Paul. I know they had Rand Paul was probably pretty disappointed. He probably had presidential ambitions, and Trump took all of the oxygen, and all of the people who would likely have supported Rand Paul wound up going for Trump. But I'm glad to see that they are bearing the hatchet.
Yep, Rand is our guy. I'm out of here, guys. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the commentary. Have a good day.
Okay. Okay, William.
Yeah, one of the things about Rand Paul, everyone said, did you see Wolf Blitzer just, you know, tear in to Rand Paul? But that's not what the perception was. I mean, Wolf Blitzer was so badgering, so clueless, so angry, so disrespectful that Rand Paul won. Just because anyone watching that came away with their stomach turned by just the vileness of this guy, they didn't even necessarily, you know, center on the points that were discussed, because you couldn't even get to the points because of Wolf Blitzer's attitude. But in a sense, Rand Paul did the same thing that Trump did, was he just gave these people enough rope to hang themselves. And if you look at these surveys, you know, when they do these surveys about what concerns you, like as a Republican or as one of, you know, they just say, what concerns you? It's not even 1% that they care about.
That's,
you know,
right,
all this stuff that's happening in Europe. So the big fall down didn't fall.
So we will be back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network, Patrick Slaughter and William from Montana. And we've been talking about all sorts of stuff. What do you want to talk about, William?
I just wanted to say that, you know, we need to understand that what we were told happened really didn't happen. And many people out here in the flyover states, they didn't buy any of this stuff. You know, if you have your eye and ear and nose, you know, tuned to the East Coast gunk that's coming out of the prostitutes and the deep state, then maybe you should change your diet, because you know, you get an impression that they have all bases covered, but it's bases that no one's listening to. And I saw this graphically displayed when you know, the cover, the Time magazine cover for the July 30th, it shows the heads of Trump and Putin morphed together, and it was it's been shown on all the TV news, American TV news channels, and they said this is a stroke of pure journalistic genius, because it shows that Trump and Putin are two heads or two sides of the same democracy destroying coin. But in the Russian press, they said, you know, this could actually, and people are saying this is a great, because it just shows collusion, even if you don't read the article. But the Russians said, you know, with all the uptick that Putin got from the World Cup, and the fact that he looked on TV as measured, intelligent, informed, that this stuff could actually morph over into Trump and show Trump is actually, he's intelligent, displaying courage and polite concern for the safety and well-being of all peoples of the world. So instead of having this insidious, black op type effect, it may actually show the exact opposite if you actually take a slightly different look. And they said, so it may actually, for the base, for the Republicans, for the people that know that if we don't vote for the Republicans, guess who we're going to get? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's waiting in the wings. And, that just is a really shot in the arm for this. And I think, you know, if she comes in there and starts talking along with Bernie Sanders that, you know, the Democratic Party's future is pure socialism, they're going to get creamed in the midterms.
Yeah, and it's not just the socialism. I don't know exactly how people think about that.
Socialism, open borders, guaranteed national income. I mean, the list is long.
Yeah. Guaranteed income for anybody who can set foot in our country.
Right.
And this is the thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that the Bernie Sanders supporters would have liked. Mm-hmm. And they don't, I think, like the Bernie bros, they don't care about, they don't want to have a bunch of wars, but they would like to have affordable tuition and health care. And you're not going to get that if you're going to, it's hard enough to get people on board with health, national health insurance for everybody in America, but to get them on board with giving it out to all the peasants in Honduras and Somalia, come on.
Right.
Well, William, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks again. Far-ranging, and, you know, we're climbing out of a hole that we were never in.
There we go. And I'll Bye-bye. Be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.